Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome this morning, Thursday. Don't forget, it is Thursday. Every Thursday, the Lalisa Williams Show is on the air at 7 a.m., as well as Tuesday and Thursdays, we're on at 7 a.m., and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're on at 5 p.m. So we, you know, do a little switcheroo there. Well, I tell you, you can absolutely have the best relationship that you ever had. You can absolutely have a great relationship. And I have someone that I'm going to bring on the air right now that's going to talk to you about that. Just how do you have a great relationship? What are some of the pitfalls? What are some of the things that can stop you? Good morning and welcome, Mr. Shawn Watson.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just letting people know that they can absolutely have a great relationship. It is possible. It is doable. And that's why you're here, to help them, to tell them some tips, some strategies, some tools that will get them to that place. So definitely want to stay tuned, and want to just say good morning and welcome to each and every one of you. So let's get started. Shawn, what do you want to talk to us about today? Because I know there's so much to talk about as it relates to relationship, because everything we do is based on relationship.
Well, during this week, I actually did a lot of research. And
okay.
one of the things that I want to talk about this morning that has a lot to do with relationships is basically the topic talking about absent fathers, as far as the mothers having to, you know, raise the children and the father not being around.
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas for me to really talk about this morning.
Okay, so, well, what's the issue, the concept? How does this impact our relationships?
Well, for one thing, it's just saying that a lot of times when we're picking up our partner, you know,
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, sexual, a lot of times I don't think that we're picking it based on love. I think we're picking it based on convenience and just temporary lust.
Okay.
And that becomes a problem because when something like that happens, when a baby, you know, does come around, you know, because you guys didn't love each other, you know, it means something totally different because he may not take it. He may not take the situation seriously. So he leaves because, you know, he didn't love you and he doesn't feel like he was responsible for that happening.
Okay.
And, you know, that's where the problem runs in because, you know, right now there is a lot of, it's a cycle at times going around because when it happens to, you know, the father and the son goes through it, then he's going to do the same thing, you know, to his because it's a cycle that continues to keep
yes,
happening.
Right. Mhm. 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 So that's you know, that's huge right there. But if we could get people to slow down and think about the person that they are, you know, engaging with, possibly to get themselves in a family way, to think about, you know, especially when it comes to having children. Because once, you know, once a child gets here, it's not like you can give it back.
Exactly.
And then at that point, you're forced to try to provide for this child. And the child doesn't understand that, you know, there was no real relationship there with the father, and the father is now gone. And so how has this impacted your life and your relationships, not having a father there?
Well,
or
I mean,
what was your story?
I mean, for me, it never impacted me because I mean, I grew up with a father, but I'm just I'm just using you know, different, you know, scenarios and research that I've you know, noticed, and even people that I've known through the years, is that it makes a big difference in the relationship as far as you know, the way a man not only treats a woman but also too, you know, in relationships, because I mean, there have been some successful people that have been raised by single moms. I was actually doing some research this morning. You know, one of them was like, you know, they talked about Les Brown, Bill Cosby, Tom Cruise, and a few other people who have become successful. And
mm-hmm.
and there are some good and some bad as far as, you know, that. I mean, they are, you know, loved, I mean, by the mom,
mm-hmm.
Protected. And also, too, they learn how to be able to treat a woman. But the problem is that there are some things that a woman can't teach her son. She can't teach her son how to shave. She can't
mm-hmm.
teach her son, you know, about fishing and about knowing how to be a man. She can teach him how to be responsible, but she can't teach him how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the absence of a father, you know. You know, that's where the problem comes in, as far as that absence of not having a father, because sometimes there's situations where either he is gone, like far, far away gone, or he may just be a part-time father, but still may not be spending enough time, because it's not enough to just have a part-time father. You got to have a full-time dad that's there, you know,
engaged
all the time.
In your, mm-hmm. Yeah, a father that's there participating with you, even if the father is not all that engaged, the child is still watching and can still pretty much see probably up close some of the ways that a man should be, if he's working, taking care of the family, and if he's loving and supportive to the children. These are things that I think a child needs to see, male or female. Women also need to learn how a man is supposed to behave the proper way, so that when she's ready to make that decision on getting a man, she can get someone that has those characteristics of her father.
Exactly.
Provided that he's a good father. So it's important for both people. And that seems to be one of the big challenges in our society, because now we have at least probably a good two generations where the father has really been absent in so many families. And now these women are, and men are adults, and now they've already had a set of children who are close to being adults. And so what is the solution? It's a big problem because now people don't know how to behave in adulthood. They knew how to be a child, but not quite sure how to be a man, or not quite sure how to be a woman. Big problem. So what's the solution?
I mean, it's a very big problem. And one of the things that I want to just, you know, say this morning, you know, specifically to the women, is that when a man comes into your life, he comes in for various different reasons. And let me give you some examples. Some men come in your life because they like you.
Mm-hmm.
Some men come in your life because they may love you, or they may not love you. Or some may just be just attracted to you just physically. And a lot of times some women get that kind of confused because, you know, they may meet a man who's, you know, one night man, but they try to turn that one night man into their lifetime man, and that doesn't work because he's not prepared for that. He doesn't have that on his mind, and that's not one of his goals. His goals is just to be, you know, that one night man, or just to be that, you know, that special friend that comes around, you know, maybe once, twice a week.
Well, do you, in your research, or in your research and interviewing others, I see on Facebook that you put interview type questions out there to get people's thoughts and opinions. Have you found anywhere where women, when they do meet men that are there, you know, for a short time or what have you, do you get any sense and understanding of why they get this so confused? Why is it that they're so not able to discern the difference, or even, you know, whether the person is going to be there for a short time or there for a very long time?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it can be confusing, but those are just the things that you have to kind of pay attention to. And one of the reasons why it's so hard for women is because when you act in the physical, that's an emotional attachment. And women, they have a tougher time, dealing with that than a man. A man can just, you know, experience that and be like, okay, it's done. But a woman, it stays with her because that's a body part that you share with someone else, and that's a lot more special to her than it is a man. And so it's a lot harder for her to get over that.
For her to detach, so to speak.
Yes, that emotional attachment is what that is. Emotional attachment.
And whereas a man possibly could have an emotional attachment, but it not have a lasting effect.
Exactly.
You know, he's still emotional at that moment, which is probably why he's able to communicate to her, or she's able to pick up a signal that, okay, this is right. But then at the same time, they detach also very quickly. Whereas with the woman, it kind of lingers, seems to kind of linger on. So it sounds like then women need to slow down, not rush into sex for sure, not rush into putting themselves in a place where they have a huge attachment before they really get to see what the person is all about. Is that, would you agree to that or disagree, or what's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, I go back again. You need a game plan and a goal for any type of relationship. You know, where is this relationship going? And you need to have some kind of like a, you know, almost like a backup plan. I mean, for me, I think it's smart if you're going to, you know, do the physical. I think you need to do it with somebody that you're gonna love, somebody that's going to, you know, that you feel is gonna be there, that you can trust and believe they're gonna be there. Because if not, you know, women are gonna continue to have these problems where the guy he up and leaves because, you know, he wasn't planning on staying that long. And that child is not gonna, you know, convince him to stay longer than he was expecting to stay.
Planning to stay, right? Yeah, I remember when I, as a teenager and a young woman, I would meet women that, you know, would have children, and they would constantly imply that, you know, I had this baby because I wanted him to stay around. I had this baby because I thought he would, you know, stay with me, or he would, you know, like that. And oftentimes it didn't work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So for a woman per se, how is she to know, even if, because, you know, there are men who can be very convincing, just as there are women as well, but since we're giving out the advice kind of sort of for women, there are so many men that are very convincing that I'm going to be around, I do love you, I do want a long-time relationship with you. And sometimes they actually mean it. And then, they meet someone else. You know, I know for me, when I was dating, I was very sensitive to the fact that, you know, how often does this person change relationships? You know, I pretty much, you know, use some of the techniques that you talk about, doing that research into that person's life. It's like, you know, let me see if this person is with a different woman every 6 months. It's just the way people do when you go for a job interview. They look on your resume. They see that you change jobs every 6 months. Well, they're thinking, well, you're only going to be here for about 6 months. And we're looking for someone. We want somebody that's going to be here at least, you know, 5 years. So you wouldn't fit. Even though you might have great credentials, you might have a degree, you might have excellent skills and experience, but you're not going to be here to meet our need. And that's how, you know, that's pretty much the way I would gauge a person. I'm looking at your background, so I want to talk to you about your past relationships. I want to know, you know, how long you were there, who broke up with who, kind of thing, you know. But I don't often, you know, talk about that per se, because I just thought that it was just a common thing that any woman would do. But it sounds like maybe that it's not the common thing that most women do when they meet a man. Maybe they're more into, I don't know, you can talk about that more, because as women meet you, what are some of the things that they, when they meet you, what do they seem to be into, so to speak?
Well,
say that first conversation, that first dinner date, that first date or two. What are some of the things you've noticed?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, a lot of times, like what I noticed is that, you know, some of the women, some are kind of different. Some, you know, plan on, I guess, having kids, but later on, a lot of them are very independent, so they're really more career focused, and I see that a lot for the ones that I meet. Sometimes are career focused, like, you know, I really wanted to, you know, focus on school and everything, and so a lot of them don't really get too caught up into that particular situation. But one of the things that I have noticed is that some women who have kids and the father leaves, a lot of times some of them eventually end up looking at abortion, because they feel they may not be able to care for that child financially, emotionally, any other type of care that they feel that the child may need.
Now, is this something that you're currently seeing amongst, I would say, your generation, because you're of a different generation than where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely saw that, you know, as far as with my generation is that those are normally the options and everything is, mm-hmm. you know, do I want to have an abortion because, you know, he's left and everything like that. And some of the women I've noticed is that, you know, they don't have, you know, they may not have like the financial, takings as far as being able to take care of a child by themselves and everything.
Mm.
And so when the father leaves, I mean, what they feel like they really don't have very much. And so, you know, they end up looking at abortion or some even struggle, you know, being on the street trying to care for a baby and moving from pretty much from place to place.
So then today you're talking to women and saying basically, you know, it's a challenge if you're going to have a child and if, you know, you don't have a father there in the home with the child. Yes, you can take care of the child. We know this. But you're saying that then there's a missing piece because you can't teach the man how to be a man.
Exactly. You can teach the boy, I should say,
yeah, how to be a man.
You could teach him about, you know, love
things.
You could teach him things. You can even teach him how to treat a woman. But see, when you're talking about, you know, being a man, that's different. And if he doesn't have that father mm-hmm. figure around, you know, as far as these questions, there's a lot of questions that come through, you know, a boy's mind. And some women may not feel comfortable either answering those questions, or she may not know him. So what he's going to do, he's going to go on the street. He's going to find out the information, and it's going to be in the wrong manner, because a lot of times you can't trust every guy that you meet on the street. I mean, as far as the information that they're telling you, it may not be accurate.
Now, question: give us an example of something that could be a possible question, if you can think of one. I know I'm putting you on the spot, so.
What if you know, you're talking about a child of yours who's, you know, 13, 14 years old, maybe even 12 years old, and he's thinking about, you know, experiencing the physical. You know, he doesn't have a father around as far as telling him, oh, son, you know, you may want to wait. You know, so he tries to go out and he's asking questions about, you know, how to use condoms and everything like that. And, you know, he doesn't really figure out as far as the safety and everything like that. He goes around asking people, and a lot of times the people that he may ask, you know, may have been people who were older, you know, and let's say that they experienced those things when they were in the 1970s and 60s and stuff,
things were like,
you know, when HIV and all the other stuff, you know, when it wasn't really that popular and everything like that, as far as,
that's,
you know,
true.
People, you know, getting it and everything, and they tell them when their experiences, and some, you know, young kids, they kind of take that for, you know, take it, well, you know, he did that, I could probably do that too, but, you know, it affects him differently than it did the other guy, because, you know, some people, you know, are a little bit luckier than others as far as when it comes to safety. So just a safety
mm-hmm.
factor.
And if they had their father around, so then for a person who doesn't have the father around, what should the woman do
to help
her son or her daughter to learn what they need in order to grow up to be a well-rounded, you know, male, if it is a man, and if it's a girl, that she understands the proper way a man should be, so that she can one day, if she decides to get into a relationship, she'll get into a relationship with someone that will be a healthy relationship.
Well, first of all, on that, I think that it would be, it's important that maybe if you even have an uncle in your family, you know, that, you know, some positive role model you can look to would be your uncle. Another
mm-hmm.
one I'd probably say is maybe even a pastor. You know,
okay.
A lot of times, you know, there's teaching about that spiritual relationship, you know,
mm-hmm.
as for the thing that you deserve, learning your self-worth, which is very
okay.
important. You know, things
mm-hmm.
that people don't, I mean, that the daughter or the son may not understand is their self-worth, or, you know, how to treat, you know, what's smart to do out there and what's not. You know, because once they do something, you know, a lot of times, you know, you can't take it back. So, you know, just learning to be smart about your decisions.
That's true. That's good information there, and we certainly appreciate, you know, the research that you're doing into relationships to help people. I think about some of the teenager types that are ready to start dating, because some teenagers, you know, as soon as they hit teenage years, that's what that means to them, is that now I'm ready. And they don't realize how not ready they are. There are some that do. There are absolutely some that absolutely realize it, and they get it right off the bat. They know they're not ready, and they're okay with waiting until they are properly ready.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a whole other set of people that could care less about being ready. They're absolutely not ready, but that's not going to stop them from not just testing the waters, but jumping in, you know, diving in head first, so to speak. But they would do well to, you know, follow you and listen to your messages that you have. Because, by the way, tell us, how old are you? I know you're in your 20s, but...
I'm 25 years old.
Okay, so you're right there at the age where you're... As a matter of fact, congratulations. You just got your full frontal lobe. No, I'm teasing. I'm kidding. So you're at a great, you know, you should be very proud of that age, you know, because that is a wonderful age to be. 25, you're just a quarter of a century.
Mm-hmm.
You're old enough to have some good, you know, stuff, but yet still young enough to be able to reach the generation that is at critical mass right now. It's critical right now that this generation has a strong, not one, but many strong voices. So I really celebrate you and appreciate the work that you're doing.
Well,
and I'm glad.
You're right about that, because I actually did a speaking engagement the other night for that.
Mm-hmm.
It was an age group. It was 18 to 25. And
mm-hmm.
just showing them direction and
yes.
And trying to inspire them and give them encouragement to
mm-hmm.
as far as the direction that they're headed in life. So
mm-hmm.
that's really great to do.
No, you are right. You are very, you know, you have your website up. You know, you have you're on Facebook. I'm sure you're on Twitter and what have you. You have your blog that you've been running for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And you really are showing you are what we need. And, you know, not that there aren't others out there doing exactly what you're doing. There are, but there can never be enough, because, I work in the prison system. I see too many men there locked up. Been working in that system for 6 years now, and over and over and over, their stories are so similar. Well, put it like this. All of their stories are different. All their stories are different, but there's one common thread through all of their stories, and typically it centers around the father. Most of their stories, there's a common thread. It's centered, whether they're rich, poor, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, it doesn't matter, and Muslim, Christian, whatever, atheist, whatever. It all, at the heart of all their stories is the father, which makes sense.
Yeah, it does, because they have that old saying is that, you know, especially in African American society, they say that, you know, the father he's either in prison or dodging prison, and the kids suffer and everything.
What? I never heard that.
Yeah, I heard that a lot growing up and everything, because that's how.
But see,
you're
of that generation. See, you're of that generation where that was happening a lot. So I could now. How does it go? He's either in prison or
he's either in prison or died in prison, which means that, you know, he's either in there locked up or mm-hmm. he's pretty much, you know, up to no good. He's pretty close to either going to prison or
mm-hmm.
Even worse.
My goodness, now I could see that, because like I never heard that growing up ever, but we were in a different generation, so we did not. It was not common. It was somewhat common that possibly, I know for my generation, I was born in 56. So in my generation, what I often saw was that even if there was not the natural father in the home, there was a male. And so, you know, mama was still able to get some kind of a man to come and live in that home and set that fatherly example. But with the women who were having children when I was a teenager, 16, and a lot of women began to have kids, those kids today are right around the age of 40. So some of these parents might even be like your parents' age, possibly, depending on if they, you know, had you when they were 15, 16, 18, which a lot of people in the generation did. So it's really, really something to see. But, so we didn't see that as much, but I know that your generation did see a lot more of it, especially because more people were getting arrested because of drugs.
Definitely.
You know, a lot of people got arrested when drugs came on the scene because they began to arrest people for possession and sale and the sale of drugs. And that really, really, really set us back quite a bit, you know, because before drugs came around, you know, you might have gone to jail for stealing, you know, possibly, but not a whole lot, you know. I mean, the people were doing drugs, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about they weren't standing on the corners selling drugs. You know, back in those days, I don't know what they were doing in New York City, in Harlem, but I'm speaking of Cincinnati, Ohio. You didn't buy your drugs on the street. You went to someone's house if you did. So when I was coming up, you could send your child outside to play by themselves and just pretty much feel safe and leave them there and not have to worry about anything other than, you know, them going to Miss Mandy's house and eating a bologna sandwich, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your child could be in somebody's house like all day and you didn't even care. I mean, you didn't have to care. I mean, you don't care like you didn't care, but you didn't have to worry about whose house they were in. Because whoever's house they were in, the parents were typically responsible to a large degree. Now, we know that in some cases people did run into problems by going into someone else's home, but that was not the norm. That was the abnormal, so to speak. But today, it's totally different. So, you know, again, I think, you know, some of the big takeaways here before we end the show today, you know, for women, definitely men, same thing, but certainly because we're more prone to try to help the woman because it's up to her, okay, unless, of course, she's raped.
Yes.
Of course, if she's raped, all bets are off. But for the most part, the woman holds the control in this relationship thing, unless, of course, he rapes her. She has the control to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right to go out to these schools and to the places that you go and to begin to teach these teen girls that they have a value that goes beyond what's under their dress.
Yes.
Or between their legs, or however you want to put it. I know some girls don't wear dresses, so they would say, under my what? They don't even know what a dress is. So make it plain to them, because a lot of times we adults don't make it plain to the youth, and that's why they're so misconstrued. So making it plain, but I think coming from someone like yourself about the value, I think they can begin to understand it a little bit better. Because when I try to tell them about the value, they somehow don't believe it. You know, it's like, okay, sure. Because people say, well, you know, they'll listen to me just as that. Okay, they may listen to you, but you still see them with their baby carriage and no man. So how was they listening to you?
Exactly.
You know, get over it. They're not listening to you, trust me. They may sit there and pretend they're listening because they like you. They like you, sure. They have no problem. They might love you. But that don't mean they're listening to you. because I loved my mama, but I ain't listened to a thing she said. I loved her. She fed me. She clothed me. She bought me things. But I didn't listen to nothing that lady told me. But I sat there as though I was listening. She thought I was listening. And so I think sometimes adults, we have to, you know, understand that. Sure. Now, when now if you were here, boy, I'd take you in every group I could find of young people, meaning here in Jersey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray that more doors open for you, Sean.
Well, I'm definitely looking for that because, you know, I'm really working to finish my book. I'm shooting for the fall to have my book finished.
Definitely
looking to
share
with the world.
Well, beautiful, beautiful, Sharon. I know you got to run off to work. We thank you for tuning in. I see you on the phone lines. We have about 2 minutes left. If anybody had a burning question that you wanted to ask Sean before he runs off to work, or if you had a comment. You know, Sean is young. He's a working man. He's a man that doesn't just want a woman because he's good looking, so you can go look him up on Facebook or his website. You know, it's not that he couldn't get a man, but he doesn't just, get a woman. I said, I guess you say, what? It's not that he couldn't get a woman. And I know that you can get some probably a whole lot older than you. But the point is, you don't just want to do that because you value yourself as well. It's not just about the woman valuing herself. A man should have a self-value. He should have self-worth. Okay? So, just wanted to make that clear, and you're just going to be doing so much good work. So there are no questions. In other words, as we say in church, if all hearts and minds are clear, we have Sean, who is our relationship expert, comes to the LaLisa Williams Show each and every Thursday morning at 7. If you want to listen to any of his archives, any of his past shows, just pick out the date, and if it's a Thursday, you can go back and listen to the archive. The shows are have the date on them, and you can listen and hear. He's talked about how to have that interview kind of mindset when you meet a man. I didn't know what you talked about last Thursday. I was in Cincinnati, on my way to Cincinnati, Ohio, so I absolutely missed the show. I have to go back and listen to the archive. You ran the show by yourself. By the way, congratulations and thank you for that. And I know that was a great show. You have an awesome, you know, what you're doing is good and it's wonderful. And, you know, to help women, especially, and men as well, help them to understand why these relationships are going bad, why they won't work, you know, and how to fix it. That's the key, how to fix it. So until tomorrow, we'll see you at 5 p.m. tomorrow. For those of you who are going with us to Maryland on Saturday morning, please inbox me on Facebook for more information about that. And have a wonderful, wonderful day. And just share the information. If you like what you've heard here today, share it with somebody. If you know a young person that you think would benefit from hearing this message, about, you know, getting into a relationship, getting into one with someone who's going to actually be there, raising a child without a father, what to do if you're in that situation to make it so that you don't repeat the cycle, so that you can break that cycle in your child's life or in your own life, certainly refer them. And we'll be back, God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. So, Sean, again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thank
you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.